fourth in a series of tough topics. So, Junior, bring the heat.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. It is so good to be with you all. It is so good to see you. It is good to be with you again for the second week in a row. And last week was a lot of fun just being up here with my dad. And it's just all like the way that you see us interact on stage is literally how we do it in person. And it's just always so much fun just to bring a little bit of, you know, just what we do, just the banter back and forth and the fun that we have, and to bring that in front of you all and just to see, like, no, our relationships are genuine. We value this, you know, community and life together. So it is such a good day just to be with you all. And it's a beautiful morning as well, isn't it? And I just love being with you all. My heart is so warm and tender towards you all, just loving you guys every single time I come. But for those of you who may be like, you know, who's this young buck? You know, who's this young guy? If you all don't know who I am, my name is Marvin Williams Jr. I am the son of the lead teaching pastor here, Marvin Williams Sr. And my dad, he is currently in California right now. And so he said, hey, you know, would you like to come and enter into this series about tough topics? And I was like, oh, yeah, this is exciting. And, you know, we have the topic of miracles today. But it's actually been a while since I last gave a full message in front of you all back in February. And a lot of things have changed since then. And I just want to kind of give you all a quick life update just for those of you who have been following along with this journey, either from the Facebook posts that my dad always posts online or whether it's been face-to-face conversations. For those of you who don't know my journey, I graduated Moody Bible Institute in December of 2020. Yes, yes. And it has been a journey. I got my degree in biblical preaching. And so that's, you know, what I do. This is what the Lord has called me to do. But when I graduated, the Lord gave me specific instructions to wait on him. And so, you know, there were open doors, there were opportunities here and there, Indiana, Chicago, Grand Rapids, but the Lord told me not to fill out a resume, not to fill out an application, not to send an email. And when I graduated, all he said was wait. And so for the past 7 to 8 months, I have been waiting on the Lord. And during my waiting season, I was working at Block Imaging. And so shout out to Block Imaging for bringing me back for like legitimately like the fifth time in like 2 years. So just a shout out to Block Imaging. If you all haven't heard of them, they are the best place to work. And I just love them. And so just so grateful for what the Lord has done. And I call the last 7 to 8 months my David days, you know, like how David was in the pastures, you know, shepherding the sheep. But I have good news for you all today is that after some several months of waiting, you know, just in simple obedience to the Lord, you know, typically the Lord will open one door. But I have good news for you all today that he is good and he has opened two doors for me. And I will be ministering on Michigan State's campus with the House of Prayer East Lansing. And I will be also pastoring at a local church called Spirit of Christ in the Hazlitt area. I will be the associate pastor at Spirit of Christ. And so I just stand here just as a young man with a testimony that waiting on the Lord is never a waste. And just for anybody who feels like you're waiting on the Lord, whether you've graduated college as well or you're some years down the road, is that waiting on the Lord is never a waste. And I stand as a testimony today, even though I still don't know, you know, what's, you know, the next step ahead, but the Lord has opened doors. And so I just want to stand here as an encouragement just to say, be faithful and continue in simple obedience to the Lord, and he will open the doors as he sees fit, and he will ensure that you get to where you're supposed to be. Amen. So just the goodness of God today, just as a testimony. And before we hop into the message, I'm just going to pray, and we're going to be talking about miracles today, all right? So yes, Lord, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we say thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Lord, we say thank you for everything that you're doing in our city, Lord, everything that you're doing here at Trinity. So, Lord, I just say thank you. And Lord, I'm asking that you would stretch forth your mighty right hand, oh God. Would you display who you are in power and in strength this morning in all of our lives? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the title of today's message is What About Miracles? Because we are in the fourth week of a series called Tough Topics. And we have been tackling subjects such as, why doesn't everybody follow Jesus? If he performed all these miracles, why doesn't everybody follow Jesus? And then also talking about the problem of evil. And then last week, if you caught the message, we talked about the Bible. Is the Bible reliable? Is the Bible accurate? And then my dad invited me up to come and interviewed me just a little bit about my passion and my history and my engagement with the scriptures. But today we're entering into the fourth week, in which we'll be answering common questions that you and I as believers ask. And today we're answering the question of, do miracles still happen? And are they as frequent as the Bible describes? And you know, what happens when I pray and the Lord doesn't answer my prayer for a miracle? Because the reality is, and I want to take a moment just to recognize, that a lot of us have come here in dire situations in which, you know, a loved one may be sick, or, you know, finances may be, you know, not in the place where you want them to be, or there's a certain relationship and there's difficulties in our life that we go through in which we say, Lord, I need a miracle. I need you to stretch forth your right hand and display your power in my life. And so my job today is to explain and encourage you in this subject. So the first question that we have to ask in regards to miracles is, what is a miracle? And a solid definition of what a miracle is a supernatural act or change, and it can be immediate or progressive, that glorifies God. It is a supernatural act or change that glorifies God. And when we read throughout the scriptures, particularly in the New Testament, when that word miracle appears, that word in the Greek is actually the word dunamis. And that's also where we get the word dynamite from. And so, you know, if you imagine a dynamite, it's explosive, it's powerful. So when we come to the New Testament and we see that word miracle, that Greek word is dunamis, meaning power or strength. And when you look in the Old Testament and throughout all the scriptures, there's this terminology for God's power. And there's this imagery that the Bible uses, and it's the right hand. That the right hand is, it signifies in biblical terminology and in biblical imagery, strength and power. So then when you come to a passage in the scripture where it says God stretched forth his mighty right hand, that means that God displayed his power, that God displayed his strength. And you see that terminology all throughout the minor and major prophets. And so you have this terminology or this supernatural act or change that glorifies God. God stretching forth his mighty right hand. And I don't know about you all, but I grew up hearing and reading a lot of Bible stories. And so I have a lot of favorite Bible stories with God's, you know, power showing. And one of my favorite ones is the Exodus, where Israel is enslaved to Egypt. And God stretches forth his mighty right hand and delivers an entire people from slavery with mighty signs, wonders, miracles, plagues, and everything. And it's just an awesome display of God's power. So I love the story of the Exodus. Another one of my favorite stories where God shows his miraculous power is Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And this is a time where Israel is in, you know, deep idolatry. And Elijah, the prophet, comes and he challenges the 400 prophets of Baal. And he says, the real God will answer by fire. And so they both, you know, put up an altar, and the prophets of Baal, they cut themselves and they try to worship the God of Baal, saying, rain fire down and show that you are God. And no answer. And Elijah, he makes an altar and he puts a bull on it. He puts an animal on it and he pours water, not once, not twice, but multiple times. And he goes off and he says, oh God, would you answer by fire? And then all of a sudden the heavens open and fire pours out and consumes the altar and the burnt offering. And when I read that story, I just tremble and I'm just like, oh, it's just so good because God is answering and displaying his power. And another one of my favorite stories is Naaman's healing, in which Elijah's successor, he says to Naaman, who was a general, who was a commander in an army, who had a terrible skin disease, and he says, go dip in the Jordan 7 times and your skin will be made new. And Naaman, he goes and he dips 7 times and he comes out and his skin is completely brand new. And I just saw, there's just so many stories in the Bible that talk about God's miraculous power. And when I read those stories, I'm just in awe. And I say, wow, God, you are so powerful. You show your dunamis power. You stretch forth your mighty right hand and perform miraculous signs and wonders. But you have to begin, when you're reading these stories, you have to begin asking the question, well, God, why do you perform miracles? God, why do you show your power? God, why do you stretch forth your mighty right hand? And there are two primary reasons why God performs miracles. The first reason is so that he will get glory. God is a jealous God. And let me tell you something about God that you may not know. He is passionate about his glory. He is passionate about his name being made great. And so he will stretch forth his mighty right hand and perform great miracles and signs and wonders to say, I am the God who can save, and I am the only God who can save. I am the God who can deliver, and I am the only God who can deliver. I am the God who can heal, and I am the only God who can heal. Amen. One of his greatest passions is to magnify his name on the earth, showing there is no other God like him. And like I said, one of my favorite stories is the Exodus. And this passage in Exodus 14 is when God is leading the Israelites to the Red Sea. And this is what he says in Exodus 14, 17 through 18. He says this, and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and I will get glory over Pharaoh, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. So the primary reason why God performs miracles is so that he may get glory, the ultimate glory and the only glory. But the second reason why God performs miracles, the second reason why he stretches forth his mighty right hand and miraculous signs and wonders and great and awesome power is because he's merciful. It's because he has a tender heart, because he's compassionate. Do you know that God cares for the brokenhearted? God cares for the sick. God cares for the lame. He cares for the overlooked. Therefore, out of his kindness, out of his compassionate heart, he will stretch forth his mighty right hand and perform a miracle. He will perform an act and a sign and a wonder in you and in my life, in your life. And one of my favorite stories that displays this perfectly is in Matthew 9, and it's in verses 27 through 30. And it says this, it says, "And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, have mercy on us, Son of David.' When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and their eyes were opened." And so these two blind men cried out for mercy to God. God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, they said, "Have mercy." And out of his compassion, he heals them. And the stories of healings, the stories of fire, the stories of God's signs and wonders, his miraculous power, those are awesome. And those, you know, make our spirits tremble. And, you know, we say, God, you know, we want to see that today. We want to see those awesome acts of power today. But I want to point us today to God's greatest miracles. Because God's greatest miracles are not sending fire from the sky. God's greatest miracles is not healing a sick body, but God's power is displayed fully in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me say this, that this is God's greatest miracle. Number one is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Jesus, the Son of God, would come into our humanity, into our human frame, and that he would live as we live, and that he would live 30 years, have 3 years of a ministry, and then at the pinnacle of his ministry, allow himself to be given over, crucified, and die on a cross, and laid and buried in a tomb. But it says that by the glory and the power of God, death could not hold Jesus, but that by the power of God, his life was taken back, and he resurrected, and he's now glorified and vindicated in the sight of the nations, in the sight of the world, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father. That is God's greatest miracle, is resurrecting Jesus Christ, and now that everybody who believes on that name, everybody who trusts in Jesus is now given a new life. That is God's greatest miracle, is that Jesus did not remain dead, but he was resurrected for the salvation of the world. And this passage in Matthew just is awesome. It says, Matthew 28, 1 through 6, it says this, "Now after the Sabbath, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said.'" That is God's greatest miracle, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But let me point you to another one of God's greatest miracles, is the fact that you believe it. That you actually believe that Jesus rose from the grave and there is salvation in his name and in his name alone. That is a miracle. Check this passage out in John 6, 26 through 29. And this is after Jesus had multiplied the loaves and the fish and he was healing people. And he says this, he says, "Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves.'" He says this, he says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Do you know that it is a miracle that God would take your heart that was cold and dead and had enmity and hatred towards him, that he would take my heart that was cold and dead and had hatred towards him because we were enwrapped and trapped in sin, and that by the conviction of the Holy Spirit and by faith in Jesus, that you actually believe in him. That is a miracle, that you believe the message of the gospel. That is God's greatest miracle, one of God's greatest miracles. And another one of God's greatest miracles is your changed life. Is that faith in Christ produces a life that reflects the power of his sacrifice. I'll say that one more time. Faith in Christ produces a life that reflects the power of his sacrifice. So your bearing fruit, your serving, your making disciples is as significant of a miracle as the acts of power that you see in the Old Testament. That God would take somebody who was entrapped in sin, he would deliver them, bringing them into the kingdom of his beloved son, and that your life that was trapped in sin now bears fruit for the kingdom of God. That is a miracle, that God would deliver those in the kingdom of darkness, bring them into the kingdom of his beloved son, and you would bear fruit in his name. And in Romans 6:6-12, I won't read the whole passage, I'll just abbreviate it a little bit. But it says this, it says that we know that our old self was crucified with him. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ, faith in the gospel message, and your changed life because you believe in that gospel message, that is God's greatest miracle. And it says in Romans 1:16 that the gospel is the power of God, that the gospel is the power of the Lord. And so even though those signs and those wonders, those miracles stir our hearts, I just want to point us to God's mightiest acts, and that is you. You are God's greatest miracle. If you are standing here today saying, I have believed on that name, Jesus Christ, and my life has been changed because of it. You are God's greatest miracle. And I don't know about you all, but that's good news to me. And that encourages me. And he even says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are his workmanship. We are his poetry. But the thing is that many of us are still sitting here today and asking the questions, well, you know, I get the gospel message, I get the changed life, faith in Christ, the resurrection, you know, I believe that, but, you know, why don't I see miracles, you know, as often as the Bible describes, like we see in the book of Acts? Well, I want to point us just to several reasons as to why, to answer that question of why I don't see miracles as often as the Bible describes. And there's four things I want to point you to today. And number one is observation. Observation is that, do you know that God is still performing miracles today? I don't know if you know this, but God's mighty right hand has not been shortened. God's power has not been unplugged. God's power is the same as it was yesterday, and it is today, and it will be forever. God's mighty right hand has not been shortened. So miracles are happening all the time. We simply need eyes to see it, ears to hear it, and a heart to believe it. We just need eyes to see it, ears to hear it, and a heart to believe it. And sometimes God performs miracles in apparent ways, words, or obvious ways where, you know, you'll see somebody's body get healed in a moment. But then there are also times where God performs miracles in hidden ways, where that's softening a hardened heart or bringing a sinner to repentance. That is just as powerful as the acts of power of healings, miracles, signs, and wonders. So number one is observation. Observation is having ears to see, eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to believe. Number two is prayer. Because some of you all may be asking, well, why don't I see miracles as often as the Bible describes? And my question back to you, my answer would be another question is, when was the last time you asked God to perform a miracle? Because here is a principle about the kingdom of God, is that it works based on prayer. Is that sometimes God will sovereignly act just because he's God and he has compassion and he wants to get glory. But the thing about being in the kingdom of God is that we enter into the conversation. We enter into this asking, God, would you stretch forth your mighty right hand? Would you display your power that you may get glory? So my answer to why don't I see miracles as often as the Bible describes, one point is prayer. When was the last time you asked God for a miracle? And so I just want to encourage you all just to get into the place of prayer and ask God for a miracle. But number three is also our faith. This is what it says in John 14:12. And it also says this in Mark 16. It says, this is Jesus himself saying this. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. And so Jesus stated plainly that miracles, signs, and wonders would follow those who believe in his name. And it is a promise. It is a promise in the word of God that miracles, signs, and wonders, that we would even do greater works than Jesus himself. And I just want to just take a moment just to say that there is a revival that is coming, you all. There is a revival that is coming in which God will display his power in a way that has never been recorded in the history books. So I'm just here to say, get ready, because the greater works than these are coming. And I have faith for it in Jesus' name. And number four of why don't I see miracles as often as the Bible describes is this, is that ultimately, miracles are up to the Lord. Miracles are up to the Lord. I don't have the power in and of myself to work a miracle. You all don't have the power in and of yourself to work a miracle. It is God who is the miracle worker. It is God who is he is the God of wonders. So it is not our responsibility, nor does it lie within our power to work a miracle, but God will stretch forth his mighty right hand as he sees fit. So just to reiterate the four things of why don't I see miracles as often as the Bible describes is observations, having open eyes, is prayer, asking God for miracles. And number three is the faith, just simple trust in Jesus that we would see the things, the supernatural power, miracles, signs, and wonders. And number four is that ultimately God is the miracle worker. Everything lies, the power, the wonders, the signs, and the miracles, they all lie within God's power. But I want to end on this note, just briefly, but I want to take just a moment just to talk about this, is that, like I said in the beginning, is that many of you all have come here today in dire situations. And some of you all may be saying, Lord, my health or my loved one's health is in a dire situation. God, my financial situation is dire. God, my relationships with, you know, family members or friends is in a dire situation. And God, I need a miracle. God, I need your mighty right hand to be stretched forth and interact and break into my life. God, I need a miracle. And some of you all have been praying and asking the Lord for years and years and years to break in on a specific situation, and yet you see no answer. For some of us, you've been praying years and years and years to say, God, would you heal this person? Would you heal me? Or would you do this mighty act? And feels like there's no answer. And I wanted to address the question of, why hasn't God answered my prayers for a miracle? And I just want to just take a moment just to say just two things. Is that I've come today to declare to you of the utmost conviction that God is good. That God is good. Because the temptation of asking and asking and asking and hearing no answer is to slip into bitterness and then to begin accusing God of his character, of his might, of his power. But I have come to remind you that God is good, and he has your best interest in mind. Is that he has not forgotten you, he has heard every single prayer, and that your prayers have not been cast away. That it's not, they haven't gone to the deaf ear of the Lord, but that he hears your cries, he hears your prayers, and he is good. So I just want to encourage you, don't slip into bitterness. Don't accuse the Lord of his character, because he is good no matter what. And he has your best in mind. So that's point number one, is that God is good. But point number two is that sometimes God may not perform a miracle, or he may delay a miracle for two reasons. One is so that he may get ultimate glory. It's because sometimes if he were to perform a miracle immediately, it wouldn't have the same impact. It wouldn't have the same reach as if he were to delay it just a little bit more so that it reaches more people, so that more people marvel at his glory, so that more people say, Jesus is the only God who can save, heal, and deliver. And so he wants to get ultimate glory, like I said. But point number two is also that he delays sometimes for your good. Sometimes he delays a miracle for your good, to say that if I would have answered that right then and there, it wouldn't have built your endurance. It wouldn't have built your faith in me. It wouldn't have kept you in the ring and the wrestle and the conversation with me. So sometimes he may delay for his glory and for your good. Amen. And this is, God is good. And so I just want to encourage you all to keep pressing on, keep asking, stay in the conversation, stay in the place of prayer. Don't give up. God is good, and he hears every single one of your words. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you all to stand, and we'll end just with a quick prayer. And the way that I want to end, I just want to thank the Lord and to say thank you, God, for not holding back your right hand. But also, I'm going to ask the Lord to stretch forth his mighty right hand in each and every one of our lives, that his power would be displayed, that he may get glory from the testimony that comes from your lips and your life, all right? So yes, Father, we come before you saying thank you, God. We say thank you that you have not withheld your mighty right hand from us. And Lord, we say thank you that you hear our prayers. We say thank you, Lord, that our prayers reach before your throne. So Lord, we just say thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are good and gracious to us. But Lord, now I'm asking that you would stretch forth your mighty right hand in each and every one of our lives. Lord, you know the situations that we are all in. You know the needs of each and every heart and each and every person in this room. So Lord, I'm saying stretch forth your mighty right hand, that the testimony that comes from their lips would magnify the name of Jesus. Lord, we're asking, God, would you do what only you can do? In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, show your power. Stretch forth your mighty right hand in each and every one of our lives. So Lord, we just say magnify the name of Jesus in our city and in this church. Amen and amen. Have a blessed day.